Ladies and gentlemen, before we came over to America, we thought we'd like to do a bit of research, you know, and find out what America was like and how the political system worked and things of that nature. And as part of this program of research, we all went together to see Advise and Consent. And as you can imagine, you know, this was tremendously interesting to us because it showed us the real truth behind the scenes in Washington politics, the actual motivation which really produced American policy, blackmail and so forth. I mean, but it was a great pity that the British haven't made this kind of film to show you. But since we haven't, we thought we ourselves would draw a short scene for tonight on those lines, which shows you what goes on behind the scenes in English politics when some great decision of far-reaching consequence has been taken. And so the scene tonight will, of course, inevitably include the Prime Minister here, Mr. Harold Macmillan, his deputy, Mr. R.A. Buckler, whom I will portray, and then coming onto the stage in a short time will be the Right Honourable Ian McLeod, MP, who is the Leader of the House of Commons. That is, he performs roughly the same function in English politics as Walter Pidgeon apparently does in American politics. So the scene is set at number 10 Downing Street, the Prime Minister's office and residence.
Now, come in!
Oh, hello, dear
boy. Oh, Mr. McLeod,
how nice to see you. Looking so well.
You draw up a chair and sit down if you will.
Yes, if I draw a chair up, then I can sit down.
You know, Mr. McLeod.
Yeah, listen, Carol, something I want to ask you, if I can remember.
Oh, now, just before you actually get down to any kind of business, I wonder if we could quickly run over what you do.
What I do is...
For a living, you know?
Yes, for a living, indeed. Oh, how stupid of me, yes. I'm Leader of the House of Commons.
Yes, yes, well, I knew all the time it was only a joke, you know, yes. Living yours.
Pulling my leg, weren't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes.
Listen, Harold, something I want to ask you, and that's this. Rumour has reached my ear that you've appointed a new foreign secretary. Now, right or wrong, eh?
Now, where on earth could you have heard such a stupid rumour as that?
Down at my club.
Did you?
Is any truth in this rumour or no?
Well, insofar as I have appointed a new foreign secretary, I must admit there's a grain of truth within it.
Ah, based on fact, in fact.
Well, insofar as I've done it,
yes, but listen, I'm the last person to tell you how to go about your business, and well, you know, but I do feel you might have consulted us chaps about it.
Well, I'm terribly sorry, but you know, I've been awfully busy, and besides which, I'm not getting any younger.
Yes, yes,
and I'd very much like to be able to shift some of the blame and the responsibility onto some younger shoulders. Mm. And I've found these younger shoulders, and I've shifted.
Donegal will tell me, who is he?
The Foreign Secretary.
He's standing there, but who is he?
Well, you know, the man that arranges the United Nations, for God's sake.
Don't you say against? I know that, but what's his name?
His name?
Yes.
Ah. Well, I'm afraid I've forgotten his name. Now, for the moment, I...
Stump, you have it. Don't worry, I think it'll come home for you.
Oh, not at all.
Splendid, splendid.
Well, at least I believe he was with Neville at Munich.
Oh, yes.
He was one of these people that hoped to bring their agreement out of
the little fellow's name.
Anyway, he's been politically dormant since then. I,
Hitler.
What?
Hitler.
I'd never appoint him, did you see?
I just need to tell you, something very strange has been happening to me recently. I've been going down to my office once or twice during the last month, and every time I get there, I find some anonymous person has been sending an extraordinary collection of photographs to the police. Very strange things. I mean, I don't know who sends them, or what they mean, or anything, but I mean, by every post these things arrive. I have enormous piles of my office now.
Well, then.
And I brought one or two around to show you here, because they all have a sort of message on the back saying, show these to the Prime Minister, he might be interested.
What are those photographs on, old chap?
Oh, well, they're all rather the same thing. They're this old man in the noon here. surrounded by a lot of young boys, also.
Now, the old fellow seems to figure largely in the entire series.
Yes, I
I don't know. I mean, it's nothing to do with me, so far as I know, but I do seem to be able to recognize this old fellow's face.
It's my story.
Well, you tell it,
Harold. You see, what happens is that when you came in to show me these filthy things, I was just about to tell you that I've just appointed this fellow foreign secretary.
What about that? Isn't that really
absolutely? Oh, it's a small world, I must say. Look, actually, the only thing is, Carol, that if you have appointed this man Foreign Secretary, haven't you realized the full implications of these photographs?
Well, obviously, there's something that I didn't know.
Exactly. He's an old pro.
He's a good propagandist.
One of these failures of the fish.
Exactly. We have to think about this in terms of public relations.
But to announce this appointment today, this afternoon, the press are going to want to have photographs to publish in all the newspapers.
Now,
take it for example, you wouldn't give them theirs.
Well, why not?
No. The Times would never publish a thing like that.
What do you think we should do, Rab?
We'll have to get some others.
Well,
I'll tell you what to do. Ring him up and tell him to pull himself together. Tell him to be a bit more masculine like us chaps.
Yes.
Tell him to cut down on all the effeminacy in his public appearance and tell him to take a grip on himself,
as opposed to those young lads in those photographs.
Hello! This is the PM speaking. Now look, Prime Minister. Here, a lot of extraordinary collection of photographs has arrived on my desk showing you cavorting about in the nude with a lot of young boy scouts. Well, I don't mind. It just seems to me that now you're a foreign secretary, you ought to do something about it.
Yeah.
I mean, pull yourself together and try to appear a little more masculine.
Yeah.
And less effeminate by the same token.
Quite right.
Will you do that? Will you? Do me good. Yes. And come down later and show us how you're getting on, will you? Well, goodbye then, and give my love to your mother. Goodbye.
Listen then, chap. One thought has occurred to me.
What's
we
it?
Might be in rather deep water with our American cousins across the ocean, might we not, if they get wind of it.
Why, yes.
They do feel, I believe, that if a chap is a homosexual, he's also a communist, and he's right to be a bit
That's a bit naive, isn't it?
Yes, I dare say it is. They haven't had the benefit of our public school education. They don't understand about it.
I don't think there's any problem here. All we have to do is,
we must subject him to a very rigorous security check.
Through whom, you mean to say?
Exactly, through him. Subject him to the same kind of thorough, exhaustive security screening that we subject all our people to who are working on secret material. I mean, Burgess and McLean and Fuchs.
Yeah, boy, I'd love
to simply, go up to the man quite openly and say, point blank, are you or are you not a communist?
I didn't mean you.
I may be liberal, but I'm not communist.
You're not even liberal, for God's sake.
Yes, but who's going to ask the question? Very embarrassing thing to have to ask. He mustn't ask it. He's the last person to do it. What about you, Rab? Do you mind doing it?
If you back me up.
I'll back you up any way you like to go, but I think it's very embarrassing.
Hello.
Charlie?
Prime Minister.
Oh,
Julio,
I'm a
proud. Nice to see you.
Butler.
You sit down, Well, congratulations, Carl, on your appointment, and also, if I may say so, on your appearance. You've done jolly well, I think.
Yes, I hear you've done awfully well.
Thank you very much. I must be talking about my hair.
Yes. Introduce you to my barber.
There he is.
Jolly good.
Jolly good.
I
said,
Since you're here now, there's something I've always been meaning to ask you. You're not by any chance dedicated to the violent overthrow of the British government and its replacement by the international communist system, are you?
No. No.
Johnny Gordon!